So I want to talk about abiding hope. You know, and in order to talk about abiding hope, we have to look at a couple words. One of those words is God's grace. Divine grace. What is grace? Well, it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things when you're looking at God. First of all, grace is something that is freely given. It is unmerited favor, and it is the love of God. It is a gift that we cannot afford and a gift that we don't deserve. Think about that. It's like when we pack shoeboxes or when we give $10 to send over to Thailand, these kids are going to get shoes, and we don't know these kids. Do they, you know, I mean, we don't know them, and we're giving them a gift. And a pair of shoes can change your life over there. And you know something? God, He gives us unmerited gift and unmerited favor time and time again. It is the influence of God's Spirit. This is grace. It's the influence of God's Spirit operating in humans to regenerate or strengthen them. And God comes and He lives with us and He lives within us. That's His grace. He's God. He created the entire universe. He created everything that we can see and we can't see out of nothing. And He chooses to spend time with us. Grace is also a virtue of excellence, of divine origin. You know, when people say, oh man, that person is so graceful, they flow with grace, or that person speaks with grace, or that, you want to know something? There's a lot of earthly grace, but the perfect grace is the grace that comes from divine origin. It's the Christian graces. It's also called a state of grace. You see, it's God's grace residing in us and flowing through us. You see, grace just isn't grace anymore, is it? It's so much and so much more. And grace is the condition of being in God's favor. Man, I love being in God's favor. I've been on the other side of that, and I never want to go back. Grace is the condition of being in God's favor. It's something that the world doesn't understand, and sometimes we question. Grace is being one of God's chosen, being one of God's elect. And you're like, well, how can we all be chosen? Well, He's God, and He can do that. He loves all of us. He loves all of His children the same but differently. Isn't that amazing? It's kind of like once we get that grace, once we get that love, we can love everybody the same, but we love everybody differently. And that's God's grace. I found a little note in my devotion this week about that. It says, divine grace is the voice that calls us to change and then gives us the power to transform into a grace-filled life. Divine grace is the voice that calls us to change. That's God saying, it's time to change. It's time to come to Jesus. It's time for Him to be your Savior. And then that voice gives us the power to transform into a grace-filled life. I love grace. We've all seen the opposite of grace, right? We've all seen it. And I love grace, and I want it. So what are God's greatest grace gifts? The Bible is full of grace gifts. And as I was praying about this and as I was studying this out, I just said, okay, God, what are your greatest grace gifts? And you want to know something? I found them in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And it says, now these three remain. So if something remains, it's the greatest. Think about it. There's a lot of things that are going to pass when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven. But it says these three things remain. They remain in this realm and they remain in the realm to come. And those three things are faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we know 1 Corinthians 13 is about love. But the Apostle Paul caps it off with this. I want you to know, he's saying, I want you to know this. These three remain. These three are important. These three are probably the main grace gifts that God has given you. And the reason they're the main grace gifts is because they are the foundation and the pillars of our walk in Jesus Christ. And what are they? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Okay? So what is faith? Faith is believing in God, okay? But believing God will do what He's promised. There's a lot of people that believe in God. Satan believes in God. But he doesn't, for some reason, believe that God's going to do what He's going to do. And true faith is believing in God and believing that he's going to do what he's going to do and what he said he's going to do. That's faith. The second thing that we look at is hope. And a lot of people think that hope is just a longful yearning, but actually hope is this. It is joyful and confident expectation of God's promises being fulfilled. Isn't that amazing that hope is tied to joy? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hopeful expectation, joyful expectation, knowing that maybe right now things aren't the best, but the end result, we have hope because we can joyfully look forward to what God is going to do. Why? Because we believe in God and we believe that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And then love, God's love in us, growing our love for him and for the rest of the world. So you see, they build on one another, but they start with love. Okay, these three divine grace gifts of God spiral our lives to grow closer to God. Go ahead. A lot of times we think that we grow in a line with God and that line gets higher. When actually what happens is, okay, we're at a crossroad in our life. We can either choose poorly and go to red. Red represents hell. That's a good representation, isn't it? And green's happy. Green's spring. All right? Okay, so where we start is we start with love. Because God what? God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It was not God's intent, the scripture says, that the world should perish but that everyone should come to him through the son. So God loves us. And because of that love, we grow into a faith, into an understanding of who Jesus is, of who God is. And as our faith grows, then our hope grows. And as our hope grows, then our love grows. And then, if this spiral kept going, as your love grows, your faith grows, and your hope grows, and your love grows, and your faith grows, and your hope grows, and it just keeps going and going and going and going until you grow to the very end of this life. Till you grow more and more and more into who God wants you to be. It's a spiral. And the thing is if you get hung up on your faith, you're in a holding pattern for a little bit. And you might even go back down, and might have to understand about love a little bit. And then you go back up. How many of you have ever been stuck in an airplane going round and around an airport, and you know you're going to miss your next flight, and your whole life is going to turn to crud? Right? I was coming back from Utah, actually both ways, going to Utah a couple weeks ago, coming back from Utah in an airplane, and this, both times it was like a reminder, okay, of what your life is like when you get stuck in the air. This poor guy going and another poor guy coming, they were like, they missed a flight, and they were just, you know, they just knew that their life was going to turn, and they were talking to somebody else, yeah, this is going to be terrible. I'm going to be stuck in Rapid City. And I'm like, hey, I grew up there. You know, there are worse places to get stuck. You know, I'm like, you know, I don't know where, Denver. I don't know. But anyway, so, no, actually, I asked Kelsey. She had a layover in China. She said, China's not much fun. But anyway, okay, so here you are. You know, you're stuck in this. And don't we have this really good mental picture of, oh, man, I'm going to miss out. And you know something? When we get stuck in that and we go down, sometimes we do miss out. And we have to kind of start over. So the thing is God says, I want you to know my love. I want you to grow in your faith. I want your faith to build more hope. And I want your hope to grow and express itself in love. Love to God and love to those around you. And when we do that, things go well. Maybe not easy, but we know that we've got that hope. We know that God is there. We know, and we've got that confidence, okay? So why do we sometimes struggle with hope? Why do we? Well, there's a couple reasons, okay? I want you to think about something. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, okay? Have you ever thought this? I hope I can get through this. Okay, I'll raise my hand first. I hope so-and-so comes through. Okay. I hope I get this job. I hope I don't lose my job. I hope this bid comes through. I hope, it's It's been my life recently. I hope this plane doesn't crash, right? Never, ever sit on an airplane next to a pilot. Don't do it. I hope this plane, okay? Now, have you ever thought that way? Have you ever thought that way? Do you realize that when you think that way and when you say that, you've misplaced your hope? Think about it. And we all think that way, okay? We all think that way, okay? When we think this way, we're putting our hope in ourselves, someone else, something else, circumstances, and innate objects. We're putting our hope in me, them, and that. That's what I like to think of. And go ahead and show us that next spiral, okay? God's way is love, faith, hope, love. The world's way of hope is me, them, and that. And you want to know something? Our spiral downwards usually starts with me, because we put faith in us, and then we'll put faith in somebody, and then we'll put faith in something. And when those things just keep crashing, we just get down there and we're like, there's just no hope. You know, there's no hope. Not very long ago, I was in a discussion up at the college about sustainability, and there's no hope. The world is going to end. Things are really, really bad. You know, and this person was not a Christian, and going on and on and on, and I just said, you're right. And they stopped. I thought you were a Christian. I thought you have hope. I said, I've got hope that when it gets really bad, God's got this awesome exit plan for me. That's our hope. It's a part of our hope. But our everyday hope is that Jesus is here. God is here. I don't have to rely on me because I'm not very reliable. I don't have to rely on somebody else because people aren't very reliable. I don't have to rely upon circumstances because they change. And I don't have to rely on an airplane or a car because you, like me, may have a car that just decides it doesn't like to run every once in a while. You see, hope deferred, in Proverbs 13:11, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, I've heard this quoted a lot in a lot of different ways. The Holy Spirit's amazing. He uses verses to help us. I've heard it preached like hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing filled is a tree of life, which means when you're waiting for hope, it's deferred and your heart grows weary. So you need to keep hoping in God, which is true. But there's another way that we can look at this scripture because of the way that it's translated, because of the Hebrew words in this. It can be hope that you're waiting for, but it can be something else. Okay? Because see, if we start thinking this way, if we start thinking, God, you're taking too long, then what are we putting our hope in? We're putting our hope in circumstances. God, you're taking too long. The circumstances are not what I signed up for. The circumstances are too hard. The circumstances, Lord, I just don't like it. And so we think, yep, right, my heart is sick because God's taking too long. See, our human nature is to blame God. Well, actually, men, your human nature is to blame your wife, okay? And then it's her nature to blame Satan, okay? And then when it all comes around, then we blame God. Okay, that's the beginning. But anyway, hope deferred, this word deferred also means to put in the wrong place. Hope deferred, to put in the wrong place. If you put your hope in the wrong place, this makes your heart sick. That word really means to put it in the wrong place. You know, so, you know, it might take a little bit longer, but your hope is in the wrong place if you're looking at circumstances. Your hope deferred will make your heart sick, okay? And then when we look at the other one, okay, let's just say hope deferred put in the wrong place makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life, okay? That translation, longing deferred, it also means this. It means a delight abided in. So if we put Proverbs in a literal translation in the Hebrew, it says this. Hope put in the wrong place makes the heart sick, but a delight abided in is the tree of life. Who's the tree of life? Jesus. God. Every reference in the Bible about the tree of life points back to God's giving life through Jesus Christ, the tree of life, in the garden. It started in the garden. The tree of life in Revelation, it says that its leaves will bring healing to the nations. The tree of life, Jesus Christ. So when we put our hope in the wrong place, our heart gets sick. But if our hope abides and delights in the tree of life, that's where our hope needs to reside. Now, doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense? You see, so what do we need to do when we struggle with hopelessness? Because we all do. First of all, okay, I'm going to just recap. We need to identify where our hope is resting. Is the hope resting in me, them, or that? You know, oh, I just wish that I could do this. I just wish that they would do this. I wish that that wouldn't happen. I wish that my car would start. I wish that last week it didn't snow and take down all the pretty leaves. My hope was kind of in a nice fall. And yes, I blamed God for this. But for not very long, because then he made me write a sermon on hope. Okay? So we need to reassess. Is that where my hope is? Or is my hope delightfully abiding in the grace gift of God's hope? Is my hope delightfully abiding in the grace gift of God's hope? Because if it is, there's a joyful, hopeful place in our heart, in our spirit, in our soul, in our mind that only God can fill and God can occupy. And he's just waiting for us to open the doors. He's just waiting for us to open the doors. I've said many times, David is probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible because he's so human. Man, David messed up. But he is also so spiritual because when he messed up, sometimes it took him a little bit, but when he messed up and he realized and God knocked on his head, you know. This week I had to explain to an international student what knucklehead means. I mean, you know, and so I went like this. I went, and they went, oh, stupid. I go, yep. It's a nice way to say to somebody, you know. And when David was being a knucklehead, and either the prophet or God had to kind of tap on his head a little bit, David always repented, always came back to God. He took the circumstances that God put before him, and he moved on. If we go through the Psalms, we find out that David was in hopeless situations time and time and time again. In fact, one of those situations that is so clear is in Psalm 43. I love this because I've been here. We've been here. Listen to what David says. He says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation." Wow, how many times have you felt the social injustice, not of just our nation, but of the world? And you've just said, "God, this is not right. Please change things." And we've done that many, many times, haven't we? Okay? "Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men." If you have not needed rescued from deceitful and wicked men, you've never ever had a credit card and overspent on it, right? How about this? "You are my God and my stronghold. But God, why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning and oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight." Those words, joy and delight, tied into hope. "I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you so downcast, O my soul?" David gets to this place. He starts looking inside. "Why are you so disturbed within me?" And then he says, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, and my God." David realized something in all of these things that he was looking at. All of these problems, all of these worries. He realized that he got off. He started focusing on the wrong things. And at the very end, he said, "For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I will put my hope in God." So that's what we need to do when we start saying, you know, "I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know if they're going to do it." When our hope gets misplaced, put it right back in God. When our situations get difficult, put it in God. When you have a situation, and we've said this time and time and time again, we thank everybody for all the prayers that go up for individuals in this church or nationally or internationally. We thank you. When things get really tough, call somebody. Call somebody. You know, the wonderful thing about this church is we're not all that big. We do know each other, and we know somebody we can call. Don't call anybody. Call somebody in your family here. This is crazy, because you want to know something? We are the Holy Ghostbusters, aren't we, huh? Who are you going to call? Holy Ghostbusters. Because that support, that joy and that hope of somebody maybe that's been through it or somebody that's going through it, you can lock arms in prayer and you can find God's delight, God's joy, and God's hope in whatever you're going through. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're real. You're a Father that understands how we lose our hope. You're a Father that understands how we get sidetracked, how, Lord, we get distracted, how we get discouraged. But Lord, you're always there, ready to pour hope into any situation, to pour hope into any heart, into any mind. To pour hope, Lord, in the middle of distress and despair. So Father, I pray that we will stay focused on you, focused on your power, your might, your ability, your promises. Father, I pray that we'll get past just believing in you to believing you for everything you've promised. We pray in Jesus' name.